this is your favorite referee, Bryce Ramsburg, and you're listening to The Pain Clinic. Listen and feel the pain on Rochester's Real Rock.
The time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Welcome to the Pain Clinic for February 26th. And welcome to the show. I'm the Cash Man, your humble host. I'm joined by DC Dan Cole from North Carolina. DC, how you doing?
I'd be great if I'd unmute myself.
That's okay. I think that's something normal we expect nowadays with everybody. And we're joined by Danger Boy from Gates, New York.
Good morning.
And the Artiste, Parts Unknown Rochester. What's up, Mr. Artiste? How you doing today?
Good morning. Hello.
Hello. Good morning. We are doing, this is the Pain Clinic for, let me do my plugs, for February 26th. Holidays today. It's Carnival Day, Carpe Diem Day, National Pistachio Day, and two more, Open That Bottle Night, and Tell a Fairy Tale Day. Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight Empire at Culver. Also birthday. We have a birthday. Former guest and Impact Wrestling manager James Mitchell is 56 today. Salvatore's at the garage door is proud to show UFC 272 March 5th. I believe that's a week from today. Covington versus Masvidal, a huge grudge match here. The Masvidal, the BMF title holder, is going to be taking on Colby Covington, old teammates and now enemies. This is going to be a good fight, going to be a good crowd, so you want to get there early. Prelims start at 8, pay-per-view starts at 10, and as always, no cover charge. Hamston Roller Derby, you want to be a skater, officiate Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join Rock City Roller Derby. If you're into the men's team, it's Flower City Fear, F-L-O-U-R, flowercityfear.com. And you can check them out. We're always looking for volunteers. I mentioned earlier, I'm your humble host, the Cash Man, and we are here ready to talk wrestling, the world of pro wrestling. We have people in the chat room already. I want to thank everybody for showing up a little. I started a little bit early because I want to get on the cable access channel out here before we want to go live and see how that works. I'm not seeing anything yet, so we'll just say that. Let's get into the world of pro wrestling and talk about a lot of things. So much to talk about. Do we want to start beating up a company that's coming to town this weekend right off the bat so that, it's a no surprise that we're never, ever going to get anybody from their company. I'll start with it. Why not? Let's talk about what the big news that came down towards the end of the week. Claudio Castagnoli, you might know him as Cesaro, could not come to a new contract with the WWE, and he hightailed it out of there. A lot of people have come to make comments about, what a big deal this is. Mick Foley says the greatest wrestler in the company is gone now. What do you guys think? Is this just what's supposed to happen with like all these great wrestlers that have been not used correctly? Is this the future for anyone we think it's good?
I don't think you could name a more underutilized person on that roster than Cesaro. And certainly pound for pound, one of the best wrestlers the company had, but I think there's the problem.
True that. Danger?
I was just going to say it's not necessarily that WWE let him go. He walked out on his own accord, and good for him. He knew he wasn't going to have that long-term program. He wasn't going to be that main eventer at this point in his career. It was a little bit of a surprise to everybody because everybody thought he re-signed last year, and that's why he had the little push and match against Roman. But, you know, good on him for leaving. He's not what Vince was looking for. Vince made that perfectly clear like 5 years ago on Steve Austin's podcast. So, you know, he made his money. He did his thing. Now he can go out and spread his love of wrestling elsewhere. I'm not beating up on anybody for this one because WWE tried to re-sign him, but he just didn't want to be there anymore, and more power to him.
Yeah, I think he had been there long enough. I mean, he was one of the guys that was in that early reign of indie stars actually getting signed when that didn't seem to be a thing for a while. And there were always big hopes for him to get to that next level in WWE. I don't know if he was ever going to be the top guy, but he certainly is capable of doing a lot more than they had him do. And, you know, I think he's also somebody who never really got to show his personality too much. I mean, he got to have some really good matches and, you know, had some time with belts and things like that. But it's disappointing that after all that time, it didn't amount to more. But I mean, you already mentioned like what Vince had said about Cesaro years ago, and clearly his feelings had never changed on Claudio. So just makes me think of back to all the stuff that Claudio did before the time in WWE. And I'm excited to see more of that. I think physically he still can go just as well as he always has. And quite honestly, like, of the people who have been available, I would love to see him. I'd love to see him go into AEW and get hotshotted right to a main event spot. I know that pretty much everybody that ends up going there gets lost in the shuffle. He's somebody that deserves to finally have a real main event run. And hopefully that's coming now. So we'll see what happens. But I'm almost more surprised that he lasted WWE as long as he did. Because, I mean, I would be frustrated if I was him.
Let's think about his career in the WWE. What would you consider his major push when he was there? Was it when he was tagging with Sheamus? Or what, you know, was it, I think, was it the first time he did the spin, the whatever they call it, Cesaro spin? You know, what was his, you know, I mean, and listen, he was a great hand, and he, you know, he deserved so much more. And, you know, I think maybe just, you know, he had some things going against him. One, he had a terrible accent. You know, I mean, Vince McMahon hates accents. If you don't sound like you're a native New Yorker, he doesn't want to push you. And, you know,
unless he wants you to sound like you're from the South and you are a native New Yorker.
Yeah. Southern. Yeah. Luke Harper. Sorry. So that's insane. But, I think that was against him. But I mean, really, what, you know, thinking of his whole career, and what was it? 12 years. Did I read? Was it that he'd been in the WWE? Kudos. Maybe he made enough to live on and he doesn't need to worry too much about, you know, but we haven't seen him much in the past year. And I think I'm trying to think, you know, what, you know, some of his high points of his career, maybe it was when he was tagging with Sheamus. I mean, they, you know, that was heavily pushed for over.
I can tell you it was not when he was a rugby player who had just signed with the WWE with whoever that manager was, who no longer worked for the company after like 5 weeks. That original angle they brought him up with was terrible.
Yeah.
I think for him, I mean, like, it seems like he was maybe finally going to get that singles run that he deserved when the pandemic was early on and everything. And it was disappointing that that didn't really go anywhere. But what sticks out the most for me, or first to me, honestly, is his tag title run with Tyson Kidd. I loved that tag team in the ring. And obviously Cesaro had a lot of success tagging with other people as well. And I mean, more than anything, if I'm thinking of tag teams, I think more of him prior to WWE tagging with Chris Hero, the Kings of Wrestling, with Sarah Del Rey, which I don't think we're going to get all of that back together, unfortunately, but who knows. That Kid and Cesaro tag team, to me, I think was super underrated.
Yeah, I was just thinking, and I've talked about this a few times on the show. When they were in town for a UPW show at the Monroe County Fair, and I sat at a table with him and Chris Hero, and we were just waiting for showtime. So we were just sitting around a table hanging out, and it was like just really surreal because, you know, being that him and Hero eventually went to NXT and he got called up to WWE and who can forget when John Cena denoted the size of his nipples? Okay. I mean, there was some weirdness on the way, I don't know if that's a plus or minus when it comes to the long-term career of his career, but man, we were huge fans of his, and it's a shame that, he doesn't have to sit out and non-compete, right? So, I mean.
No, he is officially free to go wherever he wants.
They have a built-in angle in AEW right now that is perfect for him with the Danielson and Mox stuff that he could walk right in. If they worked as a trios, that would be amazing.
True. And you mentioned trios, and they actually used that term when they announced a match for their pay-per-view coming up this week. A week from the 5th. Is that Sunday? A week from Sunday. We have AEW's next pay-per-view, Revolution. And the cool thing about it is if you're in Rochester, New York, where we are, except for you, DC Dan Cole, they're showing at Tinseltown. So we're going to be able to go out and hang out with our wrestling friends and people we don't know, our new friends that we haven't met yet, and watch AEW at Tinseltown, which I'm really thinking about doing. I haven't seen what the price is. I'm guessing it's going to be like $20 probably a person.
$25
a person. And but, you know, you're going to get the screen.
That card, though, is worth five times that.
Yeah. It's a great card.
Oh, someone, Michael just said that Cesaro has real life heat with Eddie Kingston, too, apparently.
If you go by what Kingston says, everybody has real life heat with him right now because the guy does not break kayfabe at all.
Yeah, I would say that that's a little bit of a work mixed in with that.
Well, he mentioned him. And he just rolled his eyes when he did. So,
Before we get off Cesaro Cash, I did want to say, like, we were talking about like moments where we thought maybe it was his time. When he won the Andre Battle Royal, you know, picking up Big Show, eliminating him. And then I think shortly thereafter, you know, he became a Paul Heyman guy. I thought like, okay, this is it. We're finally going to get it. And then,
yep.
You know, like all good things in WWE, let's just see how long it takes them to ruin it.
True. And, he's had some moments. I mean, anybody out there have any thoughts on some of the moments he had? I remember, the Big Show, he did the Cesaro swing with him, which.
But he did lose the tag team titles to a 10-year-old. So,
yes.
There's also that.
Yeah, he did, you know, winning the, I see a couple people mentioning he won the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, which is
he won the first one.
Yeah, it's a pre-show thanks for coming type of a deal.
Danger.
I was going to say the first year it was actually a kind of a big deal.
Yeah, but certainly isn't anymore. But yeah, at that point it actually meant a little bit. I don't know. I think, you know, the one other thing you mentioned, Chris Hero, and like, I just wish, you know, Vince and WWE had just let them run as a tag team in WWE. But back then it was shocking enough that they would sign these top indie guys. Certainly they didn't want to keep the names or let them, you know, do the same thing they had done elsewhere. But I mean, they had so much chemistry on the indies, ROH, everything else that I think they dropped the ball with Cesaro. And I think they, quite honestly, they dropped the ball even more with Chris Hero back then. But, like I said, I'm excited to see what Cesaro can do next, just because he's one of those guys that I think we had finally come to terms with the fact that they were never going to push him to that level that he deserves or that a lot of us wanted to see. So now it's a chance for people to really get to see what he can do. The handcuffs are off, so to speak. And I think, like I said, I think he's still got plenty of time left. I know he's like early 40s now or whatever, but if I'm Tony Khan, that's a guy I'm putting right into the main event picture. And I know that there's going to be a lot of people, oh, it's another WWE wash-up guy, whatever. But he can show that he can do a lot more than they ever let him do.
Yeah, and now Xavier Woods also is the last remaining member of the party.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the Swiss Superman, you know, I think of him, too, also, is when they were stocking NXT for the very beginning of NXT, he was one of the guys that they brought in. And you're right, Rob, by saying that, that they were out signing a bunch of independent guys who and he was actually signed before Luke Harper, I believe. I remember because he kind of – he may have been a advocate for him there, I'm guessing. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's correct, yeah. I mean, when John was getting contacted by WWE, Claudio was specifically part of those conversations and like, yeah, no, that's a phone call you need to actually answer, that kind of stuff. So,
yeah, he said that. I think that he said he didn't answer. He hung up on him by accident the first time and then he called Claudio or something. And
Claudio's the one who gave him Laurinaitis' number to call back.
I believe,
if I remember it.
Yeah. He did tell us that story. So, yeah, so that interesting that he, you know, and of course they went back a long way too with, you know, working, what was it, CZW and some of
There's a cage match from CZW that everybody should go watch on YouTube if you haven't seen it already, with Claudio Castagnoli against Brody Lee. It's a classic. I'm pretty sure Bryce Remsburg with hair would be the referee for that one. Pretty much all those matches back then.
Sure. Yeah. Not the one we see now, though. I have an ID from him. I'm going to use one of these days. When we were doing the Rochester Rumble in the at the baseball stadium, and
that rainy day.
He was there. Bryce was there, and I know he had come up from Philadelphia. So it's like, you know, dude. So yeah, the interesting that you know, unfortunate. And listen, we hadn't seen Cesaro on TV in a while. I mean, was he in the Royal Rumble? I'm trying to remember if he was even.
No,
he wasn't. And part of the, you know, the backstage talk is he hasn't been involved in stuff recently because they couldn't get him to re-sign.
That's true. So they weren't included
in any plans.
Yeah, they won't push somebody who is letting their contract run out or playing hardball with them. So. You know, just another guy that they're letting go. That's probably a really great hand, and he really spent. I mean, he may have not got to be put the shine on him a lot, but he certainly put a lot of people over in that company and made them look great. And I mean, you need guys like him, even if he's you don't deem him as a main event type of guy. You need people like him who can help make these guys and put them, you know, in the popular, you know, make them faces and, you know, as, you know, and whatever, you know, I mean, you need these guys, these are good hands. And, unfortunately, well, they let one go. So who knows where he's going
to
show up.
One quick correction just to make, that cage match was Chikara, not CZW.
I was going to say,
he's going to go look it up, but it's basically the same thing. They use the same ring in the same building, whatever. Yeah. Chikara was just better. So,
and Chikara is the trios. They have the trios tournament every year, right? Is it Chikara?
King of Trios.
Yeah, King of Trios. And so I have a feeling we're going to see more trios now a little bit.
We don't see a trios belts in AEW, please don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't want any more belts there.
We are going to get a trios match with Matt Hardy, Alberto. Andrade. Sorry, I was going to call him Alberto Del Rio. What? No, Andrade, and who else? The third guy. Who's the guy with Andrade?
Isaiah Cassidy.
So yeah, we were gonna get like a, and that's so against
Sammy, Darby, and Sting.
Yeah, that's all.
And there's also a trios match on Dynamite too coming up with Cole and Red Dragon. Forget who they're working.
Yeah,
Paige and maybe Silver and Reynolds.
Dante saying, and no six-man tag belts in AEW either. We saw how it worked in WCW. Yeah, you know, I mean, it was, you know, a part, you know, it was, I didn't hate that, but they also put them on like, you know, lightweights when they did the trios tag teams or whatever. They put them on like, you know, what's his name? Shane Helms and those guys. What were they called? Danger? The dancing squares, dancing circles.
Freak out.
Three count.
Sorry. Yeah, those guys. I remember they put him on them, and then the Young Dragons.
What's wrong with three count?
Nothing wrong with three count, but you know, that was they tipped off the pay per views, you know, or they started up the pay per views, got everyone super excited, and then you were disappointed for the next 2.5 hours after that because you got everything else from WCW. So, you know, believe me, I loved them, but. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see where that's going.
They're already maxed out on belts in AEW. I mean, I think we're already at a point where you've got like which belt, like people are eligible for multiple belts and which one means more. And then everybody's in a stable. So like, do they want to go for the 2-person belts or the 3-person belts? I don't want that. Like, please don't.
Not, you know, it seems like, it, you know, and I don't know, because it seems like that's where they're going, unfortunately. You know, I don't want to.
And honestly, nobody really ever cared about like the ROH 6-man titles either. Like that was a thing, but it just doesn't get the same kind of respect or talk about and stuff. I don't think there's a reason to do it.
But. Well, I remember when WCW did it, or back then it was at the NWA and Georgia Championship Wrestling. They put them on the first 3-man tag belts went on the Road Warriors and Dusty Rhodes, which led to one of the greatest turns in the history of Georgia Championship Wrestling and NWA Wrestling.
And Dusty Rhodes losing his job. So
yeah, pretty much they took a spike out of the Road Warriors pad and jammed it into Dusty's head over and over. It was like very violent. And this is on Saturday night TV, I believe. So it was like,
Dusty was fired the next week.
Yeah, it was vicious, but beyond that, that was probably the most exciting thing to involve those 3-way tags. So we got Cesaro now. So let's fantasy book with Cesaro. Where do you think he goes now? I mean, you know, he has a home in Ring of Honor, and you know, maybe Ring of Honor, you know, since Ring of Honor is starting up again beginning of April, maybe, you know, I mean, that's the big wild card right now is what's going on in Ring of Honor. You know, I mean,
I think the big wild card of that big wild card you just mentioned is what is Tony Khan's actual announcement on Wednesday that
yes.
He hasn't told anybody about,
yeah,
which could be related to that. There's still part of me that thinks that the Ring of Honor is doing a show, and then who knows what they're actually doing after that. If they're really going to be like if they go back to not signing people and just running shows here and there, or are they going to have a new owner, or what's going to happen? So,
well, that's what they said, right? They said that they were just going to highlight the title holders, and they were going to travel town to town, putting together TV from people in different towns. So, I mean, that's what we heard at least.
Yeah.
But
I don't know.
Who knows?
I wonder how much of their talent they'll get back to that. Like they let go, basically they got rid of those contracts and stuff. I don't know. I'm skeptical about that, but I hope something gets figured out with that. I also kind of hope that I don't really want to see AEW or WWE own Ring of Honor, to be honest.
No, and that could be Tony Khan's big announcement is he bought Ring of Honor and he's going to fold them in. But like people like Honor No More, part of Impact Wrestling, those guys are all signed to Impact Wrestling, okay? So, I mean, don't be fooled by them claiming, you know, and listen, it's exciting when, you know, I mean, we were texting this past week when Impact was on, and I said it was probably the greatest promo Eddie Edwards ever cut in his life was at the end of that show, because he explained exactly why he sided with his friends from Ring of Honor. And you know, I liked it. I thought it was, like I said, it was probably the best promo Eddie Edwards ever cut, but all those guys are under contract Impact Wrestling, so you know, you see the Ring of Honor belt being, you know, defended everywhere apparently. What was it, Terminus 2 the other night too, that
he runs that, so
yeah, Gresham runs that, right? That's
yeah.
His yeah, but I mean,
yeah, that was a disaster. Referee totally blew the finish of the main event, and then it just got really awkward for the next 10 or 15 minutes until they just went off the air.
Oh no. Well, I know you had mentioned that, and I was reading the results, and someone said it was really good except for the referee's error. So,
well, then they're like, I mean, Gresham was just trying to find any way to finish the show. So he's like, well, should we, he's asking the crowd questions like, do you want us to fire the referee, or do you want Santana and I to have a rematch and stuff? And I'm just like, can we just sign off the air?
Yeah, yeah,
just
live with it.
Worse and worse.
Yeah, live with it, man. Just spin it some other way.
Yeah.
Good. I'm glad, George. Thank you for agreeing with me. Eddie Edwards promo on Ring of Honor, on Impact Wrestling. It makes, you know,
and
what
that turn wasn't like. I watched that Impact special on Saturday. I will say that was really good.
Yeah,
that was a really good show. The turn of Eddie to me seemed a little, I don't want to say predictable, because they still did it well, and I like that. Like, he has a ton of history in Impact, but he also has a ton of history in ROH. So. I'm curious to see where that ends up going, but
well,
Eddie continues to be one of the top guys that doesn't really get the credit that he deserves. So
that's what I was going to say. He is the number one. He was the number one baby face in Impact Wrestling. And to him to do what he did in front of that live crowd. I mean, you know, it was real NWO feel kind of stuff, you know, I mean, you know, real turning his back, you know, and people not being happy about it. But, you know, when he came out and explained this past week, if you get a chance to go back and watch Impact Wrestling from this past week, you know, he makes a lot of sense, you know, about Ring of Honor and, you know, how, you know, that's where he started, you know, and that's, you know, that's where he, you know, I mean, but actually we used to see him here, 2CW. I remember seeing Eddie Edwards wrestle in 2CW.
Former tag champions there with Davey. I mean, that's the thing is, I think when you look at Eddie Edwards, like, he's just not, to me, and I'm probably guilty of this too, you know, even however many Eddie Edwards matches I've seen over the years, like, he doesn't get that credit, but like, he held every belt he could have in Ring of Honor. He's held every belt he could in Impact. You know, he's somebody that eventually someday I'd like to see a little bit more, you know, maybe that's AEW or something else too. But it's nice to see him getting the spotlight, you know, in Impact and being one of those guys that kind of help lead that company, even though he's now going to act like he's against that company.
Well, I loved his one line where he's like, listen, you go and you look for your, you know, your savior of Impact. And then what do we get? We get Kenny Omega wrestling for the heavyweight title on a pay-per-view. So they basically, that forbidden door crap that we've been hearing about forever, he goes and just trashes what they've done. You know, he said someone in another company held our belt for what, 6 months, you know? And it was like, it was great how, you know, they never, and he goes, and I was an afterthought. Never once did they think about me during that whole time. So I just thought, you know, when he was like, you know, pleading his case, I'm like, I think I would buy their t-shirt. You know, I like the, you know, the Honor No More, you know, it's I think I like that. I like that, that whole angle, and it's just going to get better because it just kind of ended, you know, we're, you know, it's, I know Invasion, wow, wow, wow. We've seen it a million times, but you know what? I just like something different. And yeah, you know, it was all the Ring of Honor guys too, that were in there that are all recently signed with Impact. So it was,
and that's the other, I'm glad that Matt Taven has somewhere to do stuff right now too, because obviously he built up his name a lot toward the final days of Ring of Honor before they come back, whatever, I don't know how to even word that, but I think he's somebody that should be on TV as well, and he's somebody who still hasn't gotten, I mean, he was a tag wrestler for so long and everything else that, like, he just never got the attention that other people got, and whether that's Impact or somewhere else, I mean, it's good to see him on TV again too. He's been even super entertaining on commentary when he jumps in, things like that too.
Wasn't Adam Page part of his group too? Was it in Ring of Honor? I'm sorry, Adam Cole. Yeah, they were. I remember
the other Adam.
Sorry, the multiple Adam. They're going to have a fight for the first name. That's what we got. If I was there,
the Kingdom in Ring of Honor.
Yeah, the Kingdom. If I had, we saw the Kingdom in Buffalo. We went to that Ring of Honor show in Buffalo, and the Kingdom was right in our face. You know. Loved it. Loved those guys, you know. I was going to say, if I was going to the pay-per-view next Sunday, I would hold a sign saying, you know, the fight for the name Adam, you know, I have a big sign or something. But that's my joke because nobody else is picking up on it. You know, it can, you know what, as an announcer, it would tick me off if everyone has the same first name, you know. I mean, that's kind of like why people had to change. That's why, remember, Harper went to Harper because we had another Luke in the company. You know, I mean, there's some logic behind doing things like that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's different even if you're calling wrestling where you're normally saying, like, full names, you're saying Adam a lot in that, where if it was a real sport, you could just go last name and you wouldn't even really think about that. But that's better than calling a real sport and having multiple people the same last name.
Definitely, unless you're a fan, unless you're a family, like Hardy or something, you know. But
or if you're calling a hockey game where it's Sebastian Aho on one team against Sebastian Aho on the other team,
it's a Sebastian Hadoff. So I kind of, you know, tangented off my original question: where does Cesaro show up, and what ideally, let's fantasy book. Let's go around the table. What do you guys think?
I mean, as crowded as AEW is right now, that's where I'd want to see him, because that's where I feel like we could see him get the exposure and platform he needs that he really never got in WWE.
I agree with that. I mean, I think I don't know if it's fair to say this, but like, I still feel like I enjoy Impact and I really like their roster. I feel like they have this like kind of glass ceiling or something, maybe just because of the network they're on and everything these days. But like, when somebody who has an established name from WWE leaves and goes somewhere else, to me, I don't think I'm ever like, oh, they should go to Impact or that's great. Like, it just doesn't seem, it seems like a step down is the way to put it. And I wish it wasn't. And I hope that changes over time one way or another. But to me, yeah, I want to see Cesaro in AEW. I want to see him right into the picture. I don't know. I'm curious to see what happens after the pay-per-view, where they go, because obviously a lot of this is building up to, you know, the Elites and Red Dragon and Cole, and when Omega comes back and all of that, like where that's all going to be, how that's going to lead to Double or Nothing and stuff like that. We can all see the building blocks already for that, but what happens with the title picture? And I think, you know, like, they just got to find a way to do something with somebody who they bring in and make a big splash with. And it's time to finally do that. And I'm not saying that you have to hotshot the belt to him, but honestly, I'd be okay with that. I think he goes in, he needs to be a major player immediately. And I don't know if that means he would align himself with somebody else. I'm okay with letting him just give him some mic time, let him show his entertaining side, let him do things that Vince wouldn't really let him or trust him to do. Because he can do that. That doesn't mean that a manager wouldn't help at some point or something like that, or aligning with somebody. But I hope he ends up in AEW, and obviously without the no compete, like, just go ahead and do it. Like, do it now.
Danger. I'm going to vote for the G1.
G1? Yeah. That, you know,
I want to see him in New Japan do the G1.
That's what I was thinking too. It's like, you know, a lot of these guys who've showed up recently from WWE who were working in AEW still want to work New Japan too. Like, we've heard Bryan Danielson a couple times talk about how he still wants to be part of G1, you know. And
there's still a big part of me that thinks that Tony Khan's announcement is going to be related to everything we're talking about right this second.
That's what my thoughts are as well.
And yeah, it can definitely make a big splash like he's teasing. I mean, it does seem like, you know, unless Tony Khan's big major announcement is that he's got a list of future major announcements that he's going to make. That's pretty much all he does. But I mean,
or he thinks are major at least.
Yeah. I don't know. I could totally see it being something with New Japan and partnership and hosting matches or whatever the case, like something along those lines, or some kind of big super card with every company except WWE or something too. But yeah, no, I think there's so many New Japan possibilities. I would agree with that. There are so many Claudio matches that will be on a list that we're all going to want to see.
Yeah, that's the thing.
A lot of those are with New Japan guys.
And I was going to say, that's the thing too, is I don't know if Claudio did like long tours of New Japan or Japan in general, but That's an option. That's an option, and he's definitely seems like the kind of guy that could go there, because you tend to have guys who work better sometimes than, you know, that they don't need to talk as much as their work shows you what they can do, and he's definitely like one of those guys who I think could really impress a lot of people by going to New Japan. So it makes sense.
I'm trying to think, because I know he did a bunch of stuff with Noah, but I don't know. I don't know. I have to look and see. I don't really remember New Japan with him.
Yeah. So, well, you know, and he, well, we'll see. I guess we'll see. Maybe, you know, maybe he's Tony Khan's big announcement on Wednesday that we haven't heard about yet. There's a lot of things that could be. So
he's going to grab that brass ring.
Yeah. Okay, Vince.
Giant brass ring.
Yeah.
Yes, that is next week.
He's going to bring it. He's going to go above the bar. Sorry. Sorry.
Dressed as Sonic the Hedgehog.
Ding, ding. You hear the noise.
Well, what a huge middle finger that would be to have him debut at the pay-per-view, have him win that ladder match. Just the imagery of him actually grabbing the brass ring.
I'm all for it. That works for me. And I love, like, thinking about everybody who's in that match. I would love him to be the sixth person, which is interesting because they have in recent weeks been saying, like, okay, our next qualifying match this Friday or next Wednesday, or whatever. They haven't told us who's in the sixth and final qualifier, or if there even is a sixth and final qualifier, or somebody's just showing up or whatever. So
I thought they were done. I thought they were done after four, to be honest with you, until last night. I didn't know how many slots there were. Now we know that Orange Cassidy's in there too, so at least we have a couple smaller guys, you know, Ricky Starks and Orange Cassidy.
I can't wait to watch the big guys just like toss Orange Cassidy back and forth to each other across the ring.
Pass Orange Cassidy around.
Well, that's how you got in the match, right? It was a Beal contest. Whoever could throw somebody the farthest.
True. That's the first two matches were like that. You know, that's the funny thing is we talk about that, and we finally, you know, got a reappearance by Keith Lee this past week. I'm not satisfied with, you know, like a three sentence promo in the backstage area, you know, with Keith Lee. I mean, you brought him in and you put him into this futures match that he wins, and then he disappears for a couple weeks. You know, it's like, I know there's a lot of people to suffice, you know, the more people that get signed, the less women wrestling we see too. And I know a lot of people are unhappy with that. We did get a couple matches the other night, so I'm not going to complain about that.
The one thing I did just to quickly sneak in, Ricky Starks' name Stocks. Was mentioned, and yeah. I looking at that, like, there's already nine matches announced for Revolution. Just the fact of, like, Ricky Starks being in a big match on pay-per-view is, like, one of the biggest selling points to me. I'm really happy he's finally getting a little bit of a chance to do something as opposed to being hurt or just focusing on an FTW title that nobody cares about or whatever.
He did announcing.
This could be a real breakout match for him.
He also made fun of Keith Lee quite nicely.
Yeah, and he did do that, and that's happened during Keith Lee's promo there too. So, but you know how we saw the pictures of MJF as a little kid with Punk this past week? I've seen some Ricky Starks pictures like that as well, floating around where he's meeting some of his heroes and stuff. And it's like a lot of respect for the guy. I'm super excited that, you know, I mean, and he's got a teammate in there too. So, you know, in the match with, so who knows what's going to happen with, yeah, I got two Taz guys in there. So I don't care about the FTW. Once again, another, you know, like you say, that we have too many belts and this one doesn't mean anything. So, you know.
Speaking of too many belts, again, please, somebody just take one of the belts from Sammy Guevara and hide it. There's no reason for him to be carrying two belts around.
Oh, they just want to rib Becky Lynch there, two belts, you know, the way, because he comes out with holding them like she was doing too. So, you know, yeah, it'll probably end soon.
That interim title we had for the week that Cody had to miss TV.
Yeah, so when he gets pinned, do you get two titles, and then do you walk around with two titles from then on, or
well, multiplies, then it becomes four. Oh. Pretty soon, you're Ultimo Dragon.
And they tell two friends, and so on, and so on. No,
so on. No, then they just break off to a true TV title and all those others, yeah. All those other weird networks that March Madness ends up on.
Since I dabbled in it for a second, I was going to talk about it later, but what did you think about that MJF promo, man? Is that like a face-making promo, you know, that we got allowing, you know, I mean, what do you think? That was, you know, I mean, listen, that was the best thing I've seen that guy do, and he's cut some great promos since they started with the company, but that promo – you know, I mean, obviously it is setting up a huger heel, I'm guessing a huger heel turn by him, you know, to come out and just be, you know, disgusted by everybody, you know, but I thought that was great. I mean, and he even, if you follow him on Twitter, I think he was like being legit where he said that was the hardest promo he's ever cut in his life because there was,
well, everything he talked about was real. You can go back on his social media and find the picture of him posting CM Punk shaking Daniel Bryan's hand and his like quitting football and all that stuff. That's all legit. So he's just drawing on real life experiences, you know, that thing that we never do anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's what made it beautiful, because you could see he was getting emotional while he was doing it. And I mean, you know, sometimes it's hard to fake that, you know, especially you get,
it was genius.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know where the idea to do that came from, to bring that real stuff into it and everything, but that's an all time promo that, like, I think everybody has been talking about it this week, and I still don't think it's getting enough credit, but I think that's one that will be remembered for a long time. And it shows a different side of him. I don't think it's a face turn. I don't think it's something that, he's going to come out and say, like, oh, haha, I fooled you, I was lying, or anything like that. I just think it adds a whole other element to his character. And in those, you know, we're not in a total, you're either a clear-cut face or clear-cut heel days anymore. But I just thought it was so well done, and especially Punk coming out quietly and just being like, is that true? Is this real? Like, everybody who had a part in that, like, bravo. It was really well done. And props to Max for saying everything that. I mean, I think it's what he said there too is, you know, like, yeah, most kids hate him and stuff, but there's probably a lot of kids that were watching that like could relate to it or whatever. So I just thought it was great.
Well, I've definitely seen at least one other Jewish YouTube personality who presents wrestling information go, it's not talked about enough, but as a Jewish person, the anti-Semitism thing is 100% real. And, you know, to have him come out there and say the stuff that happened to him when he was younger, stuff that no one would even think about, and how that led to him where he is, that's, how are you going to boo him after that?
Seriously.
I just think it's amazing that, like, he, when you think of MJF, like, a lot of us didn't really know about, you know, like, whether it was learning disabilities or things like that he had battled or does battle, but he is already, it's not just a gimmick, like, he's already one of the best talkers we've ever seen on a national or worldwide scale. And for him to be able to do that, to speak so clearly and cut these amazing promos and all this stuff, when battling all of that stuff, is just, it puts him on a different level to me. So, hopefully the match itself delivers. Don't know where he goes after that. Like I said, I still don't want him pushed right into the title picture. I think the slow build is the way to go with him, but he's obviously going to be a huge, huge part of that company for a long time to come.
DC?
I mean, I can't say anything more that you guys haven't already said, but yeah, that was a career defining promo.
It was.
We've all been fans of wrestling long enough to know that it's at its best when it's at its realest. And that was, you know, real Max there drawing off things that actually happened to him. When you just let people go out and be themselves, it's amazing what happens. You get some of the best moments ever.
If you follow him on social media, is him and his parents have always been at odds on social media, and his mom just came out and posted how proud she was of what he said. Completely throwing kayfabe to the wind, as they say. And, it was, you could tell maybe they were working towards that the week before when Punk brought the picture out of it originally and like was, you know, bad mouthing him and he wouldn't say anything. He just kind of shook his head and like walked off the stage. So you could see that maybe they were going towards a more realistic thing with him. But well,
the best description I heard of that promo was that is the line from every single movie between superheroes and supervillains when the supervillain is born. That was his supervillain making moment was
origin.
When Punk walked away.
Yeah.
And you know, the funny thing is we've been doing this show such a long time that we remember when Punk walked away. And, you know,
we've been doing this show such a long time. Max was like four or five when we started.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, and, you know, and actually, if you think about it, we're going to our 24th year in November.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Because he was, I'm pretty sure he's a 96. So he would have been 2 when the show started. There's a reason why I think I remember his exact birthday, but I don't, it's going to make me seem old. So
I'll just say that we were around
being exactly a decade to the day older than him. Yeah, he was 2 when the Pain Clinic started. So, and now he's a top guy in the industry.
Isn't that crazy? And some girls I used to like say, hey, you know, you try to use that. I do a radio show. Yeah. How old were you? Oh, I was in like 4th grade when you started. It's like, you know, but nevertheless, when you're dating and you're meeting
some people, of us were, you got to talk to some older people.
So,
I think the dynamic though that this creates too at the pay-per-view is going to be very interesting. I'll be very interested to see how the crowd reacts.
I've always felt that
because that is a moment where you kind of feel like, okay, maybe for right now, MJF is the face and Punk is the bad guy.
I don't have a problem with that. I've always felt that Punk should have, after that,
until MJF takes advantage.
Yeah. Well, I always felt that Punk would have been great to go heel the week after he debuted in Chicago, because you can't be a heel in Chicago, not with him. But, you know, I mean, you certainly could come out and, you know, it's interesting that there's a lot of history that MJF brought up about, you know, Punk leaving and how it changed his whole life leaving, you know, and it's interesting because when we were watching it from afar, we always felt that, yes, Punk's going to go and do, you know, MMA for a while, and he'll be back. And he was, of course. He eventually came back. But I love how that makes him look bad by, you know, hurting a kid's, dreams because of what he does. So, I mean, man, it's just, there's a lot of places they can go with this, and it's super exciting to see where it does go.
I'm curious to see, like, a part of me kind of wants them to not even be on Dynamite or Rampage this week and just walk out for a dog collar match. And everybody's like, this is great. Like, what's going to happen? I don't know where you go from what you just had on Wednesday to further build up this match. Like, unless it's just Punk talking confused, or because I don't know, like, does Punk come out and just trash MJF after that? Like,
you can't, you know,
that's it's a big question mark. So I'm curious to see what they'll do.
Yeah, I don't think he can. Well, I guess we'll see where their great writing is going, because I've enjoyed this kind of buildup. Even, you know, and MJF, he's got the slow burn going on right now. Eventually he will be champion in that company, but it's like, you know, who eventually does he take it from? You know, because right now we're, you know, we got, you know, Cole versus Paige, and, you know, I mean, if Cole takes it, then you could, you know, then it could slingshot MJF, you know, to face. I love it. And the one week that Cole came out and said he wanted to be champ was the same week that MJF said, it's now my time to start working towards this championship. So, yeah, it'll be very interesting to see where we go.
It's just weird timing to me, because I think I've been under the thought process that Cole would be the next champion, but maybe that's not the right move, just because, like, they have so much to go with, like I'd mentioned before, with Cole and the Bucks and Red Dragon and Kenny and Jay White, and like that could be a whole thing that doesn't need any title as part of it, that could last a while and be its own angle and all that stuff. Or I think the title is going to get kind of lost in the shuffle if they do a lot of that stuff. So, and I feel like the title's currently kind of lost because they haven't been doing enough with Hangman. So I'm curious to see what happens with that. But if there was a time to maybe find a way to hotshot the belt to somebody else and get it off separately to a different feud with other people, where we're just kind of waiting around, like, what are you going to do with this guy? What are you going to do with Keith Lee and Claudio and all these people? Like, maybe it is time for a surprise champion, as opposed to like, all right, this is the next AEW champion and they're going to be a champion for 8 months. And it's been very much so far, like the 4 guys that have had it so far, it's been very, like, I don't know, just seems thought out and long-term and all that stuff, that maybe it's time to do a little quick switcheroo or something.
And they, and you know, it's funny is what, you know, I loved the whole Paige versus, Bryan Danielson there. And I felt that, you know, I hate to see it just end the way it did. I mean, it did end, yes, with one of them losing finally, but, you know, and I'm glad that, Bryan Danielson, you know, had another angle to go to after that. But it's like, he's a guy who, man, it's like he's such a, I think, you know, he's a big mistake by WWE to let go, one, and he's still a huge, you see every week the fans go nuts over him. Even when he was trying to be bad, they were going nuts over him. So, and he's another guy that I felt, you know, it's like, they hopefully this, what he's working on with Mox is, turns out to be a big deal. Because
he's one of the biggest examples to me of somebody who like got to the point in WWE where, quite honestly, I didn't really care much anymore, because he had done everything in WWE and he only was allowed to do X amount of his moveset or whatever. And every time he wrestles in AEW now, like, my eyes are glued to the screen. Like, they're all great, great matches. And he gets to show this kind of different side where I think it had gotten stale in WWE, not to his fault, that I'm just glad he's there. And like, I texted the other day, it felt like Christmas when they announced that Danielson Garcia was going to happen on Wednesday. So would love to see more of that. Again, if this week, if we were going to see Daniel Bryan against Dean Ambrose, I wouldn't care. But a pay-per-view match with Bryan Danielson against Jon Moxley, can't wait.
Yeah. Oh no.
And it's weird to say that, cause they're the same people, but
yeah. Well, you know, and we did get that Garcia match on Wednesday, and that was a vicious match at the end of the show. I thought that was a violent, violent match, and that's obviously where, you know, Bryan Danielson's going with his characters. He wants to, you know, he's trying to get Mox on his side, so he's going to stomp on the guy's face at the end of the match and do stuff, things like that. Some of the stuff that he picked up towards the end of his run in WWE with, you know, holding the arms and stomping on the neck.
Well, and for everybody that says that like AEW is just a place that grabs the people WWE releases or whatever, like, that did a ton. Bryan did a ton for Daniel Garcia building a new star there on Wednesday. Like, that was huge for Garcia, who has had these big moments and then kind of gets lost back in the shuffle accompanying 2.0 for their dark matches and stuff. Like, that was a big deal there for Garcia to be back in the picture and be built up more as time goes on. And there's so many people that Danielson can do that kind of stuff with, and Moxley too, if they end up aligning or however this ends up turning out.
I do like 2.0 coming in at the end and actually attacking Daniel or Bryan Danielson there too at the very end, which was good, because at least they allowed that, you know, Garcia's guys, you know, 2.0 to come out and assist him, where they could have, you know, they could have just had it end, you know, after the match. But and then Mox, of course, comes out, and we're going to get, you know, it's going to be interesting to see where they go. I think eventually we're going to get a tag team from Danielson and Moxley, but we'll see where it goes. At they are taking each other one-on-one on the pay-per-view, which is a week from tomorrow. You definitely don't want to miss that. So let's talk a little bit. I want to change the gear a little bit, you know, because there was some good thoughts we've had in the last like 50 some odd minutes on the show. So, but we didn't talk anything about Elimination Chamber results from last weekend. And, you know, right. We did do the pregame show for the Elimination Chamber on Saturday and led right into it pretty much. I watched the whole thing, and I think I may have fallen asleep during it, to be honest with you, at one point. But just because it wasn't a great show, I mean, honestly. But some quick thoughts on it. One, you know, we anybody who thought Lesnar wasn't going to come out with that title at the end of that match had to be not knowing the plans for WrestleMania, obviously. But what did you think that there was a bait and switch there, kind of, with Bobby Lashley being taken out of the match, in a silly way, having someone thrown into the glass container that he was in that, you know, supposedly hurt him, even though now we hear after the Royal Rumble, he had had some sort of shoulder injury when he was wrestling Brock Lesnar. I think he got put through a table or something like that.
It looked at Royal Rumble, it looked like he was taking those Germans very oddly and was rolling weird. And I was wondering during the show whether he had a shoulder injury or not, the way he was rolling to the side to take the Germans. And look at that. He's going to have surgery and be out for 4 months. I actually read that right. But I thought it was dumb to have that happen, but you had to get the belt off of him. And it's one way to do it without him further injuring himself. So whatever. And it led to one of the greatest impromptu moments I've ever seen WWE have, with Brock kicking out of the pod that yeah. wasn't planned at all.
Yeah.
But looked perfectly normal.
Well, it was great because they still, even though Bobby Lashley was hauled off by trainers and everything, they still, when it came to the rolling the dice and who was going to come out of their pod next, when it ended up being Bobby Lashley and the last man standing was, or last man in the pod was Brock Lesnar. Yeah, it was, I mean, it was kind of an impromptu thing done by Lesnar there to kick his way out of the, you know, it's like, it just shows you how real protective those things are anyways. If you can just break this, you know, break through it, and someone gets thrown through it and quote unquote hurts Lashley in the match. So, but yeah, no, that was good. And then of course, Brock Lesnar pinned everybody, before, you know, or got rid of everybody. And then, you know, now he's, excuse me, of course, on his way to WrestleMania against Roman Reigns. And they made it official last night on SmackDown.
Specify, yeah. He's on his way to WrestleMania Sunday.
Sunday, WrestleMania Sunday, not to be confused with WrestleMania Saturday. Yeah.
They, is it WrestleMania, WrestleMania Sunday?
Yeah, yeah. No more pay-per-views before then, so we're not going to have WrestleMania backlash. Or oh, no, that'll be after.
That'll be after yeah. WrestleMania Sunday.
Yeah, after WrestleMania. Yeah,
which comes after WrestleMania Saturday.
Yeah. Not to be confused.
On the road to WrestleMania.
Not to be confused of WrestleMania Raw that follows after WrestleMania Sunday.
Do you realize how much wrestling we have to watch that weekend with NXT Stand and Deliver being an afternoon show on Saturday, like Saturday morning, afternoon?
Yeah.
It's going to be right after we're done, Stand and Deliver is going to start, and then wrestling's not going to end until like midnight.
I'm still not convinced I'm watching WrestleMania this year.
Wow. Yeah, well.
I'm saying the same thing, and I'm not saying that just to say it, but like also like they're – for whatever reason, like the way that it's built up now where every company pretty much except AEW is running that weekend. I mean, there will be options to stream or watch Impact, Ring of Honor, GCW, every indie you can possibly think of, like New Japan stuff. Like, so it's an overwhelming amount of wrestling that, yeah, if I'm watching all that stuff that whole week, like, am I going to care to watch Johnny Knoxville? Not personally.
Yeah, that was, of course, that was announced last night. Johnny Knoxville is going to be wrestling our favorite Sami Zayn for the title, which who cares? I mean, even if he wins, you know, wow, it's big, you know, PR move or whatever. I don't know.
I'll just wait till the match that comes out after Thursday.
Yeah, I was going to say, I liked Sami Zayn getting beat up, though. That was fun. I mean, Sami Zayn beating up Johnny Knoxville last night. That was fun.
I like they had to redo the Huluva kick because he didn't take it right the first time.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. You know, it was, you know, it's hard when you're
not that I blame him. No one, like, how do you know to take a kick to the face if you're not a wrestler?
Yeah, you know, and make sure you spin your head the other way, too. Cause,
yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of bad last night, but.
Just wait till Thursday.
Are they ending the brand split, though? Like, I'm just going to jump. Like,
yeah, they should.
Why title versus title? Why unifying? Why, like,
talk about too many titles. I have no problem with title versus title. Unify that crap. And if you're going to keep it,
but then unify the women's and everything else, too. Like,
oh, yeah, I have no problem with that.
I just don't understand.
They've never been able to do the brand split, you know, for a long time. So it to me, it always seems like it's just a temporary thing for maybe 9 months. And then.
Well, the problem is the brand split in theory is great if you actually want to build new stars, but they have no interest in building anyone new. And as the minute someone, like 2 weeks after someone starts getting pushed again, they're like, well, it's not drawing the numbers. We got to drop it. Well, nothing's drawing the numbers anymore. So who cares?
But when the funny thing. I was going to say, the funny thing about the brand split is then you've got to deal with the companies that your show is on, and you've got Fox saying, hey, listen, we want the real champs on our show. And so that's why we get, you know, that's why we had Becky Lynch, you know, at one point moved over to SmackDown. Roman Reigns is there, that they consider the WWE title the main title. So, I mean, you know, that's
the Universal champ right now.
Yeah, with the Universal. Well, the Universal was the Monday Night Raw champ for a while, you know, it was for a long time.
I don't get the whole, like, I would love to be able to look back at the lineage of the WWE title and that just be it and just be like, that's the title that's been around for decades and should count. It's so confusing. Like if somebody 50 years from now goes and looks back through the history and like, what? So then they merged them and then they split them and then they merged them and then they split them. And then there was a SmackDown and then what, like, what are you doing? Like make a permanent decision. with this. I don't, to me, the only thing I'm going to say is the biggest mistake that they can make, and I don't know, maybe probably will make because he's a babyface now, do not have Brock Lesnar win that match. You have built up Roman Reigns so well and put him into this main role where he's like the only new star you've built in the past decade. Let him win this match. Lesnar has won enough. Like, don't, if Roman, you're just going to kill Roman if you have him lose this match.
How about this? How about you have a double turn by Paul Heyman and decide with Brock Lesnar during this, and then Roman Reigns immediately shoots up to be a babyface, because right now, if you listen to the crowd when he comes out, he's not getting, it's not 100% booze towards him. It's some people, I mean, they show family people in the audience with their, you know, their family, you know, the table shirts and stuff, you know? So, I mean, they could do some big things if they wanted. You imagine Paul Heyman walking from one corner of the ring to the other during the middle of the match.
Well, you just had a Heyman switch.
I know.
You don't need to do that again.
I know, but I mean, it could be like a plot, you know?
My thing is, I'm going to add to Rob's, have Reigns win. Do not have him choke out and WrestleMania on one of those slow, lame choke outs.
Oh,
can't lift his arm type thing like they did with Goldberg this past week.
Yeah, like Goldberg. Oh, that was terrible.
That just dies.
Yeah.
That dies on every loud live crowd ever.
Especially when you're in like Saudi Arabia and they're not used to anything anyways, you know? So it's like,
the only thing I would say on that is I think Reigns is, if they can not mess this up like they mess everything else up, Reigns can be a permanent big draw. I like him so much better as a heel right now. I would not rush him to a babyface thing. You can still do that in the future. He can still be around for a very long time to come. Right now, to me, he's establishing himself as a guy who can be a top heel, a top champion, somebody who people actually remember, like was a legitimate champion in the company for a long time. I wouldn't do a swerve. I wouldn't do a switch. I would let him, honestly, I would let him beat Brock Lesnar cleanly as a heel and move on from there. And I don't know if that means Lesnar then steps away again for the millionth time or what, but to me, I think this is what truly cements Roman Reigns. And I would say I'm nervous about them messing up, but clearly they don't really get a lot in the ratings for me anyway. So
they don't care, I think. Cause if they did, then we'd see more superstars showing up, you know, more movie stars and stuff being there, because those seem to spike ratings. But I will say that Roman Reigns,
you saw what match they're building, that the rumored match is going to happen and start being built on Thursday, right?
Yeah, this is we're gonna get to that, because I have to talk about it. But I do want to say that Roman Reigns is going to be in Rochester tomorrow. And I was wrong last week, by the way. It is a 7 p.m. show tomorrow in Rochester, a Sunday night show they're doing with the Mixed Brands. And Ronda Rousey, of course, is going to be there. But Roman Reigns is going to be there, too, as well. So we're going to get a good show here in Rochester tomorrow. And maybe, you know what, if I get a chance to Roman aside and, you know, say, tell him that we're rooting for him at WrestleMania, see what he thinks. No. It ain't going to happen. But nevertheless.
Don't forget to acknowledge him.
I will acknowledge him. Danger, you bring up a good point. And so the one last thing about the Elimination Chamber, we had a couple of women's matches. It was great. You know, I mean, that's what WWE is like showing, and they're the biggest humanitarian on the planet, because they can have a couple women's matches in Saudi Arabia. And they got
to have to wear T-shirts this time
either. And they got to pat themselves on the back about it continuously. But they all had like body suits, you know, all designed after their regular gear. I thought that was great. You know, you know, and by the way, Rhea Ripley looked absolutely amazing. So, I'm tired of WWE patting themselves on the back all the time about stupid things. And overall, it was very bland show. And it just wasn't, you know, I didn't think that anything, you know, besides Goldberg being choked out in the first match of the night, which, and there's nothing super, you know, that's why I may have drifted off during it. And this is like right after we finished doing our show last week, they started. So, so it wasn't that big a deal. But I do want to go into what Danger was just talking about before, you know, we are over an hour now. And I don't know who wants to see this, but obviously, if you're not going to re-sign Cesaro, that means we got to put Vince McMahon into a match at WrestleMania.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, that's where we're going. Yeah, Vince McMahon is supposedly he's going to be on the Pat McAfee show this Thursday, and that's going to start the whole beginning of a match between Vince McMahon and Pat McAfee. Who's calling for this? Not me. But
if it somehow switches to Austin Theory versus McAfee, I have no problem with it.
Yeah.
Are there rumors of a Corey Graves, Pat McAfee thing too?
Until Vince was announced for McAfee.
Yeah.
Why are there any of these rumors? This is so dumb. Oh my God.
Well, we'll find out Thursday when Vince McMahon appears on the Pat McAfee show. I'm not going to tell you where you can find it because it's, I don't think it's that big a deal, and it'll probably be recapped on SmackDown next week. Vince McMahon hasn't wrestled. He's 76 years old. He has not wrestled since his last match was against Bret Hart at WrestleMania 26 in 2010. That was 12 years ago. He was 64 then.
I find it hard to believe he's improved in the last 12 years.
He did brawl with CM Punk on October 8th, 2012 edition of Raw, and he's gotten physical in a few angles over the years, such as headbutt strikes and frog splash from Kevin Owens on September 13th, 2017, edition of SmackDown. But Vince McMahon, I don't know. Maybe
remember that last time he took like his last stunner from from Austin on one of those anniversary shows, whatever. And it's like, all right, that's the last of however many stunners he is going to take. And he couldn't take that. And he can't cut a promo or anything anymore. Like, there's a time when you don't need to be on screen at all, especially in a damn wrestling match.
George, Sonya Deville is taking on Ronda Rousey in Rochester tomorrow on this show. She was on TV earlier this week promoting it. So I definitely, just to go aside, I'm reading the chat. So if you're in the chat room, we definitely read that stuff going down. But yeah, no, Vince McMahon kind of laid down when he took that stunner. It was like the 25th anniversary of Raw or something like that. It was a terrible, and I don't know where this is going. And maybe it's just speculation. But Vince McMahon likes to see his name out there. And so he doesn't re-sign Cesaro, but he wants to put himself in a match at WrestleMania. You got to fill two days of wrestling.
The problem is they have 200,000 seats to fill between the 2 days. And I don't know anybody that can fill 200,000 seats between 2 days.
No, maybe it'd be a surprise, I think. You're right. It's a lot of seats, so... We'll see what happens, and plus we got two shows on Saturday from the same. Isn't NXT going to be in the same place too?
I think it's going to be in a smaller venue.
Oh, okay.
I don't think it's going to be in Dallas Stadium. That's way too big for an NXT show.
Yeah, they could put it in like the lobby or something.
It's way too big for a WWE show. So.
It is. Well, because they like to pat themselves on the back when they have record crowds or whatever happens, It's not going to happen this year. I think since COVID happened, the amount they had last year at Raymond James Stadium was kind of smaller than I think they wanted, that's for sure. So,
well, this is Texas. They didn't have COVID.
Yeah, but neither did Florida. So, yeah. So, right now it's funny as I've seen some memes out there saying, they posted two pictures of matches and they said, nobody has asked for this. And both of them were the main event, the women's main event and the men's main event of WrestleMania so far. So I don't know. I mean, it's like, I'm not asking for any of that either. So it's like,
how many people will be rooting for Kevin Owens against Steve Austin? Because Kevin Owens is saying what a lot of people want to say about that state down there.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to go there and cheer for it. Maybe at home, but not unless you want to get, you never know. You get hung, in the bathroom or something if you're like bad mouth in Texas.
I love how Owens tweeted this week how like one of the biggest moments of his career was his main roster debut where he beat John Cena at Elimination Chamber 2015. And the only bad part about that was he hated that it took place in Texas because – yeah, that Corpus Christi crowd didn't really care that much. But
Well, you know. Yeah, well, so we're on our way to the building up WrestleMania, and that's one of the teases out there. We'll do some news before we get out of here. Was there anything else? Oh, WWE is going to be in Rochester. I mentioned it this weekend. It's going to be Sunday night. And AEW is going to be in theaters a week from Sunday night. So if you come on out, look for Cinemarks, or ours is Tinseltown. I definitely want to go, so I'm definitely into it. So maybe we can get seats together or something and hang out.
Honestly, I'm excited. It's not a huge deal, but I love that AEW has built up to the point that they're running T-Mobile Arena for Double or Nothing, the Vegas Golden Knights' new NHL size arena for that. Like, that's a big step up for them. With that, that's one of the top arenas in the world at this point. So obviously you've seen a bunch of UFC stuff there too and whatever too. So I just think that shows that they're growing and everything like that. And that's going to be a big, big week for them.
Well, yeah, we got the big announcement on Wednesday. So that's still, before we go on to the news, what do you think would be deemed a big announcement from AEW if Tony Khan's going to make a big announcement this Wednesday? What is groundbreaking? Danger, I'm going to ask you first.
My guess is, like we discussed earlier, that it's some kind of super show involving multiple different companies, because he said it's something not necessarily a debut, but something huge that's going to shake wrestling. That's my guess. If it's anything less than something that no one expects, I'm pretty sure he's going to get the boy who cried wolf here shortly. Everything's a major announcement.
He might have got that in the last Forbidden Door mention, okay? I'm just saying, because he then came out and said, oh, I didn't really know the definition of the Forbidden Door. DC?
Yeah, I'm going
to... Oh, go ahead, Rob.
I'm going to agree with that completely, because yeah. I don't think... I mean, even if they host some New Japan matches or whatever, like, that's a big deal for a certain section of fans or whatever, but not overall. I think a super show that everybody's like, you get New Japan, you get AAA, you get Impact, you get maybe Ring of Honor, like you get all this stuff together and just do this gigantic show that benefits everybody except WWE. Basically, WWE is the one that's like left watching it like, oh, okay, this is getting a lot of attention while we're just going to merge titles again and have Vince McMahon wrestle, and Vince McMahon and Johnny Knoxville can be our top two wrestlers. Yeah. All
right. Yeah. That it makes you think too. Maybe they'll send a group of AEW wrestlers to G1, and they'll have, like, you know how they have multiple days during that tournament. They could have a AEW day where they have AEW versus and New Japan or something. Who knows? I'm just throwing out ideas. DC, thoughts?
No, I'm in agreement with everybody else, especially, when Tony Khan's talking like, oh, I can't give details away yet because of NDAs and lawyers. It's like, okay, well, now you know it has to do with some kind of cross-promotional business. So a super show to me is ideal.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if he mentioned all the NDAs and stuff and he's like, we've got trio spells?
No.
What
about Jeff Hardy? Everyone, Jeff Hardy's floating around now. I mean, there's a lot of talk. Jeff Hardy mentioned.
I might be in the minority, but I don't care.
Yeah. No,
I don't either. We've talked about the longevity of the pain clinic this morning.
Yeah.
And I know all the, like, the Hardy Boy necklace is not. I don't care. I don't really want to see him. Like, I
don't return to the Hardy Boys artiste.
No, the Andrade Hardy family office. Like, let's just break this up and let people do their own thing. And I don't know. Well, I just don't.
That being said, I
want
Claudio
there. I don't care about Jeff Hardy.
Well, somebody had asked Jeff Hardy, he hadn't tagged with his brother in 3 years, though both of them were in WWE for the part of that time. And it's like, yeah, we haven't, we haven't seen a Hardy Boys match in, tagging in 3 years. It's like, we don't need to see that, okay? I mean, it's not a must do.
I don't think it's going to, like, when they were doing stuff in ROH and then they had the surprise return to WWE at WrestleMania, and that was a huge moment. And the crowd went nuts, the internet went nuts, all that. That's not going to happen again.
Yeah.
We're past that point. Like, you're not going to get that same kind of reaction.
Well, remember, it was during the whole Matt Hardy, he remade himself in Impact Wrestling then. And he was delete, delete, delete. And Jeff Hardy was his butler for like, what, 6 months or something, in a match where his brother had to be.
Brother Nero.
Brother Nero.
But the problem is 80% of those people who went nuts at WrestleMania have no idea he ever did that.
I don't know. They were chanting delete pretty loud when they showed up. I remember that because it was but I don't care. That's either.
Like, Matt's been teasing maybe going back to that character, and I also don't want that to happen. That was a great character, but it ran its course. You don't need to recycle that again.
You are correct. And so hopefully that's not Tony Khan's big announcement that Matt Hardy's coming or Jeff Hardy's coming to. And if Jeff
if they put Ricky Morton back up in the cherry picker and leave him up there again,
yeah,
when he's scared of heights, I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, definitely. It's like, have another cinematic. We haven't had cinematic.
Don't jinx it.
We haven't had a cinematic match in quite a long.
We don't need him anymore.
Don't need him.
Excuse me. So let's do. Sorry, man, I swallowed the wrong way. Let's do some. More news before we get out of here.
Can you say that on TV?
Maybe. Dead. The broken Matt Hardy's back. I don't think anybody wants to see that, Mike. And Dante, they never bring back the multi-gimmick Matt teleportation gimmick back again. I love the messages we're getting in the chat room. Thank you guys for everybody showing up there. Yeah, but who knows? By the time Matt and Jeff get back together, maybe his son Wolfie or whatever can like join them too. Because they'd probably be old enough to wrestle by then.
Wolfie D?
I don't know what his son. I can't remember.
PG-13?
Well, King Maxwell's the one. Maxwell,
yes,
yeah. The oldest one. But
that's right. Okay,
Wolfgang is second in line.
So we get. Oh my god, we get a Wolfie and Max. Oh my goodness! That as a tag team, the new Hardy Boys. Oh, that's a already written, man. Train them. I know they're kids now, but man, you never know what There's a lot of WWE fans who would definitely pay money to see that. So, moving on with some news pieces that we'll just throw out. AJ Styles has supposedly re-signed with WWE. $3 million a year. That's not bad. I will give him credit. Beat AJ. You can play all the video games you want now when you make $3 million a year now. He is 44, and he originally signed with WWE in 2019, and that contract was set to expire. It'll be interesting to see how long he works as a full-time wrestler. I love AJ Styles. I don't think they know what they're doing with him now because he's not
going to be taking on Edge at WrestleMania.
He's not.
I can almost guarantee it.
I was going to say that Edge has an open contract that he's going to address this week on TV. Raw.
He's looking for a phenomenal match.
Is he looking for a phenomenal match?
As long as it's not all smoke and mirrors.
Yeah. Well, we will say that if it is AJ has been kind of like playing the tweener recently, not nearly as bad, and not nearly as good. So, but nothing definite. So if he's going to, it's a step up from wrestling the Undertaker, I guess, in a cinematic match at WrestleMania. So, and AJ gets to wrestle these guys that he loved growing up, at the same time were succeeding in WWE. He was succeeding in Impact Wrestling, TNA at the time. So maybe he has a list of guys he just wants to get together with. And if it's Edge, that's great.
Good for AJ. I mean, I remember how exciting it was to see him finally make it to WWE and win the title there and everything. I guess for me, like, AJ will go down as one of my favorite wrestlers of all time, no doubt about it.
Me too.
Has been for the last 20 years. And I guess there's part of me that's a little bummed out that I feel like him re-signing with WWE right now is like a sign to me that like it's wrapping up, which is weird because he's signing a new contract. But to me, if he's not going elsewhere right now, that's never going to happen. And this is really the final chapter of his career in my mind. So hopefully they let him do some big stuff in his, I don't know. I don't know if he gets another contract after these 3 years coming up. To me, it feels like this is kind of the final chapter. So I don't know. You think about the things he could have maybe done in AEW with a lot of his really good friends that he has a lot of big history with. And that's something I would like to see a whole lot more than Jeff Hardy, but is what it is. Good for him. Get your money and it's been a great career.
Remember,
I hate to say it like it's over when he's signing a new contract, but I just, that's part of how I feel about it.
Well, remember, he was the guy when the Bullet Club peaked, you know, I mean, he was part of that group. And, you know, he was before Omega. He was before Adam Cole as part of the Bullet Club. You know, I mean, they were all a big family together. But, I mean, he was like the leader until he, you know, until he left to come to WWE. Remember Danger? It wasn't Danger. It was DC. And I went and saw him at that 2CW final show where a month later he showed up at the Royal Rumble. You know, and it was like AJ's always been one of my favorites, and one of my favorite interviews of all time, the time we had him on where he was watching his kids at the park, and all of a sudden one of his kids fell down and busted something and was bleeding, and he had to hang up the phone. And I didn't know that until we had seen him. He'd come to the UPW show and at the Dome and drew their biggest crowd that I think they've ever had at a UPW show. And I was talking with him after, and I said, dude, right in the middle of the interview, you just like had to run away all of a sudden. It's like, he goes, yeah, my kid fell off the slide or something, busted his mouth open and was bleeding. It's like, okay, it makes sense. I can understand why you were busy, you know, but he was always a wonderful interview for the show. When he was part of Impact, we had him on a bunch of times and, you know, always our favorite. He's always one of my favorite wrestlers. You know, I like him. I like the guys who are in the mold of him. And Bryan Danielson and the guys like that that go out there and can do so much in the ring that, you know, and have like wrestling intelligence when it comes to plotting out matches where they can, you know, they know how to grab your heart in the middle of the match and keep you like sitting on the edge of your seat. And AJ Styles is one of those guys. I'm a huge fan of his. So kudos to him making $3 million a year. Good luck. Good, great way to go. I think AJ will always have a job, you know, with WWE when he's done with that. He'll be in the training center or, you know, doing something. Or maybe, you know, he will leave, you know. And he's 44. 3 years make him 47. I mean, there's guys around that same age who are still wrestling over at AEW that, you know, you never know. You can't say nothing's for sure. But, Rob, if you think he's done after this, you're probably right because he has enough money to live on now, you know. You know, kudos to him. So, but, yeah, I wanted to throw that out there because I am a huge – maybe we'll see him in Rochester tomorrow. I don't know what's going on. I don't know everybody who's on the show, but we get Big E and Kofi Kingston teaming with, I can't remember who it is against, but
Drew McIntyre.
Yeah, Drew McIntyre. Yeah, against the table, the Roman
Bloodline.
Yeah, the Bloodline. Roman Reigns and the Usos. You know,
I find it like I'm not going to the show, but I feel like they should do more. Like I understand a lot of stuff subject to change, and there's two different brands, and it's a mixed brand show and stuff, but I really feel like they should be announcing more these days for they're not their house shows, their live events. Like if you want to like sell people on going to these shows, like you could tell them a little more about what's happening.
Well, they do got Ronda.
WWE's like, just come see WWE and we'll have some people there.
They do have Ronda though. Ronda coming and taking on Sonya Deville. And Ronda, the last time she was here, she was here in Rochester for the last live event. And she was trying to do the bad guy for WrestleMania, setting up WrestleMania, and people wouldn't let her. They were cheering her, and she was trying to like do the stink face and stuff, and it just didn't work. And so I think now she's coming as a face. She's gonna love it. She will love it here tomorrow. Hopefully she's playing some video games on the bus right now or whatever. But you know, I know that they got to run immediately for Monday Night Raw, which I'm not even sure where it is on Monday after that. But I'm sure that they won't be staying in Rochester for more than a blink. You know. For this show, but some other news. Oh yeah, I talked about Revolution's going to be showing at Tinseltown here in Rochester. Look for your Cinemark or movie theaters to see. There's a link. I can't remember what it was. I deleted it because it was just like a shortened link, and it's like, but go to AEW's webpage or Facebook page, and they'll have a link where you can see if they're going to be showing in the movie theater around you. But here in Rochester, it's going to be at Tinseltown, so I'm super excited about that. Former WWE superstar Drake Maverick, who is reportedly working on the WWE creative team. And that doesn't surprise me at all, just because he was tight with Jeremy Borash, and Jeremy Borash is still part of the creative team on NXT. So, and remember, Jeremy or JB used to, you know, promote. I mean, he's the one who hooked us up with Drake Maverick when he was Spud. And remember when we had him on Danger?
Oh yeah.
And he was like, if you ever want Spud on, just let me know. And he's like, okay. So
he was probably hanging out in the other room. He probably rented out Jeremy's other room in the apartment or something.
That's right. Remember Jeremy was telling us, I remember one, if you go back, if you can find the old shows where Jeremy's taught that it was the day after New Year's Eve where Jeremy was doing the interview with us and he was walking through, he said that his apartment in Nashville looked like, Saving Private Ryan, the beaches there. He said that there was bodies laying everywhere in his hotel, in his apartment, and he had to find a quiet place to come on the air with us for a while. So, but that, you know, they're all like really tight. A lot of those guys from Impact Wrestling who worked together when they, you know, before they left and came to WWE. Well, so we got Drake Maverick now, who's going to be part of the creative, and it's good because he lost his gig back in November. I mean, a lot of people did. And good for him. Logan Paul, another name everyone's really psyched about, was announced as The Miz at the Elimination Chamber match, had an idea for a tag partner. And he, like, you know, stated it as they were interviewing him as he was leaving the arena. And then he came out and announced that Logan Paul is going to be his tag team partner against the Mysterios at WrestleMania. So I don't care. I barely know who this Logan Paul guy is. I just know that people didn't like him, and they certainly booed him like crazy when he was on. And
at least they're playing him up as like a heel this time.
Yeah, well, because he was trying to be a face, and then Owens stunned him, and Owens was playing the heel the last time he was on. So, and it's funny that Miz said he had a partner all set. John Morrison had tweeted out saying, "I'm sorry, I'm busy that day." It was kind of funny if you follow the tweet.
Well, then the Miz started teasing Cody stuff too by saying he's looking for someone dashing.
And I know he used the word dashing. It was terrible. Why did he say that? Let's see some other news that we're going through real quick. Hall of Famer Edge announced he's going to, he has an open contract for WrestleMania 38. He made references to Cody Rhodes as well. When Edge was making the announcement, everyone thinks it's going to be AJ Styles. I guess we'll find out, what happens, but you know, I mean, maybe if it's Cody, you know, maybe that's where Cody shows up, you know, WrestleMania, you know. I don't know. We you know,
right, I have now, zero interest in that match if it's Cody.
Yeah. Right now, Cody, I think Cody has said that he can't go back there. I think he tweeted about saying, you know, someone said, "Hey, you should come back." And it's like, I think he said something about not being able to go back or whatever.
He said he's a stay at home dad now.
Yeah.
And he was in Orlando last weekend for a birthday party, not for anything else. And there's a lot of talk that's gone eerily quiet about anything he would be doing with WWE. They still believe he's going back there, but no one knows what's going to happen.
Well, I guess, you know, it's still a big mystery. So
that's Tony Khan's big announcement. They re-signed Cody.
Boy, that, I don't know.
They signed Cody for 4 years and his neck tattoo for 5.
Yeah, and the forbidden door has been open.
It was brought up. I don't know who brought it up this week online, and this could be a big discussion. So I'm just going to mention it quickly. And was the neck tattoo where everything changed for Cody? Because he was pretty popular before he unveiled that. And I think that's where everything changed. Like, that's when people started to not care about him as much. People started to boo him. The career, like, everything changed from, like, the trajectory he was on and, like, this path of, like, being a top guy that everybody loved. And then people saw the tattoo and were like, maybe not.
Well, I guess we'll find out. You know, the funny thing is his whole ring attire mirrored that tattoo from then on. So with the red, white, and the blue and everything. So who knows?
I was still sad to see the Cody Vader broke down this week.
I saw that. They put a screen above it. The Cody Vader was not, you know, not being used.
I'm fairly certain Jade was supposed to use it for her entrance, and it wasn't working.
Yeah.
That's why she kind of was late and ran out the tunnel.
Well, didn't Cody also tweeted, like, give Jade the Cody Vader? Like, he wants, like, Jade to take it over, so...
The way they shot it, it certainly made it seem like she was about to come up.
Well,
there.
Yeah, they were shooting at the middle. Yeah, they definitely were. You're not wrong. So maybe it was, who knows? Maybe there's some secrets behind that. Maybe we should ask Mr. Harrington, if there's any truth behind that. But
that's the big news. It's going to be the Cody Vader is now the Jay Vader. It's the NDA.
Well, you know, and you know, maybe the reason why we haven't seen him much is because before he debuts in WWE, they have to remove that tattoo off his neck, and that's what he's going through right now is a removal.
Oh, I saw a joke tweet yesterday that Vince met him for the first time since he re-signed or since he was going to re-sign and saw the tattoo, and they had him at Raw and they weren't going to use him because of the tattoo, and that's why he's not going to be with the company. And a lot of people thought it was, they're like, I don't want to believe this, but I can completely see this being a thing.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Well, he did say he was toying around with a goatee. So
yeah, I did see that. But his wife didn't like the goatee,
so he decided not to keep it. Unlike the neck tattoo.
I was gonna say goatee, don't like neck mustache. Tattoo. I guess I can live with.
Yeah, the mustache. You know, I might as well go back to the shield on his face. You know, I mean, why not?
That would look better than. Yeah.
Okay, so some other news we mentioned: Jackass star Johnny Knoxville's challenged Sami Zayn last night for the title at WrestleMania. Whoop-de-doo. Let's see. Oh, we got Orange Cassidy being added to the Futures Face of the Revolution ladder match after he beat Anthony Bowens. It was a good match. I kind of liked it. I mean, I like Anthony Bowens. He's getting a lot of work the last few weeks, you know, being like, you know, unfortunately most of the time he's losing, but you know, nevertheless, he's getting a lot of work. And the Acclaim, we get to get the good rap from the Acclaim every match. Usually it's, you know, it's usually a good, you know, good snap in there against somebody. So
only made possible.
I agree with that. But last night was the worst.
Max Caster.
last night was
the worst Max Caster rap yet. I'm just going to throw it. Like normally it's super entertaining, but whatever his lines were, it almost sounded to me like he was trying to make it bad on purpose. Like, I'd have to look up exactly what he said, but it was like
they cut some stuff out that he said about the ring too.
Yeah, well, yeah. So, by the way, we send all our love out to Ukraine and from us here because of what's going on, the atrocities in that country right now, and there's a lot of people that have connections to it that are in the world of wrestling or boxing, like Vladimir Klitschko and some of those guys. So we hope everything ends out better, or you know, the violence cuts down and maybe we can have a resolution to this. But I want to throw out my two cents on the world. But another thing, Rampage, two more matches have been confirmed for Revolution. We got the Trios Tornado tag team bout, which we got Andrade El Idol, or Idol, whatever. You got Isaiah Cassidy, Matt Hardy versus Sting, Darby Allin, and Sammy Guevara. We mentioned it earlier. I just wanted to bring it up again. That and now we know how many spots now, because I see the list. There's two more to be determined spots that are going, well, one more to be determined spot for the Face of a Revolution ladder match. So we got that going on. AEW debuted this week. Boy, we are running late. AEW debuted this week their first official t-shirt for the late Owen Hart. I don't know if you guys saw that. Great t-shirt, great pose of Owen. And if you go to Shop AEW, they released the King of Hearts t-shirt for Owens, listed at $24.99 and sold by AEW, but through Pro Wrestling Tees. You know, if you're a big Owen Hart fan, you definitely, you know, we've not seen any merchandise on Owen Hart for, what, 20 years? So,
well, Pro Wrestling Tees did stuff in the last year or two. There were some Owen shirts and stuff like that. I got one of those. I have kind of mixed feelings about ones with AEW logos on it, but I mean, I'm still happy they're doing the Owen Cup and everything. I don't know. He's still my favorite wrestler of all time. So more Owen merch available, I guess, the better. It's just a little weird. I don't know. I kind of am okay more with like just merch that doesn't have a company on it right now. But
sure, sure. Yeah, you know, it's not,
Raw is in Columbus on Monday. Just okay.
Oh, so they're definitely going
to
be running out as soon as.
Yeah, that's a hike.
Yeah, it is from six or 7 hours from here. So
that's one big loop. Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe I've been putting too much. Maybe it's five or six, but nevertheless. So that we got a big announcement from Tony Khan this week that we're going to get Wednesday. He's working something pretty big. You know, he's been teasing it everywhere he goes. So we're looking forward to that. The last thing I want to talk about, just real quickly mention. That Impact Sacrifice show is going to be March 5th on Impact Plus, which is a week from today. and there's some good setups for matches. I was watching this past week as they set up, and you get Impact Plus, you're going to get, this is what's going on next Saturday night. We'll probably talk about it again next. Maybe I'll just hold off. There's some just good matches. Moose versus Heath Slater. That's going to be pretty good. The Good Brothers versus Violent by Design. Rhino versus Eddie Edwards and PCO versus Jonah. They've been announced for Sacrifice, so we've got a lot of great matches and building up on the Eddie Edwards turn against Impact. Jay White's taking on Alex Shelley. Jay White's everywhere. You turn your head, there's Jay White. He's everywhere now. We didn't mention it at all, but former Impact champion, what is his name, the guy who wears the headgear?
Josh Alexander.
Josh Alexander. He's been AWOL, and the reason he is because he had to go back to Canada. His work permit ended, and so a man who was Impact champion within the last year is now back stuck in Canada.
Working construction.
That's what I hear, is working construction. It's a shame because we didn't get a chance to talk about it last week. It wasn't on my list of things. I never really brought it up, but Josh Alexander, I thought he had probably, he's like one of the best years for him in his past year, and now he's, because of a green card or whatever it is, he has to go back to Canada, and he won't be able to do anything until he can straighten out his immigration rights.
Well, he didn't re-sign with Impact, so they were taking care of the work permit. There's no work permit, so he was signed for shows, but you can't work legally in the States without the work permit, so...
So he's back to working construction. So sorry about that, Josh Alexander.
Don't want to get blacklisted and kicked out of the country for 5 years like Mike Bailey did.
Yeah, well, Mike Bailey had some other things.
Well, and a bunch of others.
Yeah, yeah, there's yeah, other things yeah. other things going on. Nobody wanted him here anyway. So, Rob?
I was just going to say, I'm looking at that WWE schedule. Monday Night Raw, March 14th in Jacksonville, Florida. Is that Cody?
That wouldn't be surprising at all.
You get a little extra pop because, you know, everybody that's in that building would have seen a whole lot of him in recent years.
Especially if they let him come up between the entrances ways or something. You know, he brought the Cody Vader with him.
They just show him walking from Daly's place over to the Veterans Memorial Arena or whatever for a half hour.
Oh, man. Well, you know what, guys? I think we've gone long enough today. We could still talk about so much more things, but we are done. I just want to give a shout-out to anybody who's going to the WWE show tomorrow night. I'm going, okay? I've got a busy, busy, busy Sunday, but I've worked – it's a Sunday night, so, you know, why not, you know? I mean, if it was a 3 o'clock show, I couldn't go. But if it's a 7 o'clock show, I'll be there. So I'm definitely looking forward to seeing some live action in Rochester, and I'll report on it next week. But I want to thank you, Dan, DC Dan Cole, down in North Carolina. Probably a lot warmer than the 22 degrees it is here in Rochester.
Slightly, but it could be better.
It could be better. Well,
I'll make you feel better by saying it's only 45 here right now.
That's good. Well, I love 45. I had my windows down earlier this week. Okay. When it was 45 here, and it was, we got like, I don't know, I could probably got a foot of snow here yesterday. So,
I don't want to be like, I'm not that douche, like I'm not a Gronk guy, but check out the forecast for.
Nice. I see 60s. I'm very happy about that.
You see a specific, nice. Yeah.
And Thursday looks nice.
And Friday.
We're still in February, at least for another couple of days. So then March is like, March comes in like a lion and goes out like a lamb, you know, or something, you know. That whole saying. So, but I want to thank everybody for being there in the chat room. Thank you for chatting. Thank you guys. We're going to get out of here. We'll have plenty to talk about next week because we got a pay-per-view to promote next week. That's right. We'll have not only that, we'll also have what Tony Khan's big announcement is to talk about. I'm sure that'll be part of the conversation, and whatever you want to talk about, you can just put it in the chat, and we talk about anything that's you guys want to talk about in the chat. And I'm not going to start new topics, but so it's supposed to be 32 degrees here tomorrow. So yay. But guys, thanks a lot. Thank you, DC Dan Cole. Thank you. Thank you, Rob Sanderson. Thank you, Danger Boy. And we'll see you guys next week. Same bat time, same bat channel, you know, or same bat Facebook Live. I'm trying to do it on, I'm trying to figure out how I can do that and also stream it on YouTube because someone keeps sending me texts or a tweet saying, you know, what about us who can't get Facebook Live? It's like, okay, I'm going to try to figure that out this week. So we'll see you next week, folks.